Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
At the time of it, after Aliti has seen 1-0 draw against Lazio in Rome, despite the fact that it was a 90-plus minute equalizer from Lazio and kind of hurtful bird, I think overall it was an improved performance from Aliti as compared to what happened over the weekend against Valencia. So joining me to analyze the game and talk about Aliti's hopes of making it out of the group stage of the Champions League is my broski. So, Maxi, how are you doing? Was my Swedish that bad?
No, it was good. It was good. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, Max. It's a pleasure to always have you on the podcast as well, Maxi. So, I think the best way to start the pod is talking about Provedel's goal, because actually, it is true, he is a goalkeeper and he scored a brilliant goal, but the movement to actually read the pass from Luis Alberto was just fantastic, and it's like I was watching Prime Cavani reading the, anticipating where the ball would be even before the player had even played the pass.
Yeah. I read Provedel was interviewed in Gazzetta dello Sport now after the game, and he said you can believe it or you can't call it a lie if you want, but he said that I've been studying Ciro Immobile in training, and I know that Luis Alberto likes to make the pass against the far post, so I went there and I just took my chance, and obviously it went well.
Wow, that's actually brilliant, because I think one of the things that makes up a very good team is players knowing their habits of setting their teammates. Like Thierry was talking when he was trying to give an advice to Erling Haaland and saying he needs to know how to make a run depending on who has the ball. And I think that was the same case for Provedel. For fuck's sake, we are talking about a goalkeeper.
Yeah, I was just thinking that is it bad that no other player took that run, that it was the goalkeeper who did it?
Well, I think depending on Sarri, we may see Provedel starting as maybe the striker, maybe alongside, or we may see a substitution and then he's off the pitch against Monza. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Because that was actually fantastic from him. Him saying that he knows Luis Alberto likes to play his crosses that way, and then him attacking, anticipating and everything. That's actually something you expect from a striker, a top-class striker. And we are talking about a goalkeeper who actually had a fantastic game, man. He kind of kept Lazio in the game with making brilliant saves from Griezmann, Lino. They had a couple of chances, but he kind of kept them out. And then at the 90 minute, he kind of produced that moment of brilliance, because that's a top goal, which you expect from a top-class striker, anticipating the pass and then finishing that way. I don't actually know what is more hurtful. Like we were chatting before the podcast, hyping up Luis Alberto as one of the best Spanish playmakers I've ever seen, and then him providing an assist for that, or conceding a 90 minute.
Yeah, it's a tough one to choose. Yeah, Luis Alberto is fantastic, man. We were talking a bit about it earlier that. In Italy, he's regarded as one of the best players in the league, but in Spain, he's not as highly regarded, and it's kind of mad that he isn't.
Yeah, for sure, because I think Morata said a similar thing before the game, that he has known Luis Alberto since he was 13, and he knows he's a fantastic player. And in my opinion, I think, is it 2 seasons ago, he was one of the best playmakers in Europe in terms of assists and chances created, and also short creation actions. And it's just amazing that despite having a fantastic season, I think it was just before the Euro, and then he was not even included in the team. I'm like, this is the best playmaker Spain has at the moment, and he's not even making the World Cup. I know Luis Enrique had his biases, especially towards Barcelona players, but come on, man. Somebody has had the best ever season in his career, and then he doesn't even make it to the Euro. Well, like you said, he's highly rated in Italy, and I think that's maybe one of the reasons why, despite the numerous links to Spain, he has stayed in Italy, because he's actually where he feels valued, because he's actually that good. I think he is at KDB level in terms of through balls and able to see passes that people can't see.
Yeah, I 100% agree. That season you were talking about, it was mad. He was creating chances all of the time, and I can't remember exactly how many assists he did, but I think it was close to a league record, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, for sure. I was talking about how many assists he had. I was just checking, and it was, I think that was 15 assists.
Yeah.
Actually crazy.
We're almost talking De Bruyne numbers.
Exactly. And that 106 chances created. So I think the season is like, each time he is about to receive the ball and maybe being pressed from behind, it's like a true ball, and it's like he has seen everything, and he was just fantastic guy. Well, I just like the guy, because it was kind of good watching him do so well against Atleti, because I like the player, but it kind of also hurts given that he's doing so well against the team I love. So
Yeah, honestly, I agree with you that Provodel is probably, or he is, man of the match, but I think that Luis Alberto isn't far behind. He had a fantastic game tonight.
Yeah, for sure, because Atleti kind of improved their defensive performance as compared to what they did against Valencia, and were kind of tough to break down. So having someone like him obviously was a bonus for Lazio.
Yeah, and Lazio struggled, even though they had him, because Atleti defended so well. They were compact and closed down spaces very well. But then, I mean, that Provodel goal, you can't even make a shit up, man. It's it's once in a lifetime, or twice in a lifetime for him, because he scored that goal in Serie B as well a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think he becomes the second goalkeeper after Victor, I think, Enyama for Lille to score in the Champions League.
That's a cool stat.
Yeah, I think he's in the history book. I think he will be sleeping this night with a lot of smile on his face.
Sleeping like a baby.
Yeah, but not so much for Aliti, because that's 3 points thrown away and the rest. So we did the game. I think some of the problems Aleti had this season were on display, because Aleti kind of had a good result on match day one in La Liga against Granada, but the performance was not consistent. And then on match day two against Betis, we struggled a lot, and it's true that there were a lot of factors that come in play because Atletico did not have the best of pre-seasons. We had to travel from Madrid to Korea. That's a lot of distance. And then from Korea to the US, and then from the US back to Madrid, a lot of traveling, which is kind of good for the club because it kind of gives the club like bring new audience because like you're going exploiting new markets, but at the same time, it kind of damages the team's preparation for the new season. And then the next game against Rayo Alitia at 7-0, and everybody's like, wow, they are going to win the league, they are going to do this. And then the game with Sevilla was suspended. And then after international break, you have a humbling, not only a humbling, but the best humbling you can ever have with Valencia. The team goes up, no show, nothing attacking-wise, defensively-wise. Not so good. I think everybody was shocked, but the only thing that was not shocking on that day was Hugo Duro scoring against Atleti because it's like he has a perfect record against us. And then the Lazio performance was actually very improved. I think Atleti and Lazio have kind of had similar starts to the season where it's up and down and up and down.
Yeah, Lazio has, I think it's three defeats in the league already. They've had a rough start, but in the last game before the break and now the first game after the break, they won and they've kind of gotten into the right path again. And honestly, I think that they did a good game tonight. They kind of controlled a lot of the game, had the possession, created a lot of chances, Not really chances, but kind of half chances, because that final pass or shot was usually blocked or something like that. But I think they played a very good game, but at the same time, Atleti played smart. Kind of, they knew that Sarri likes to have a lot of possession and kind of just sat deep and used counters and threatened Lazio a few times. Griezmann had a good chance, which should have been a goal. I think that Lazio played well, but Atleti played smart.
Yeah, that's a very good comparison. Lazio played well, Atleti played smart. I think that's great title for this episode of the podcast, I think. Take on your own now.
Awesome.
Well, I think like you just said, Lazio played well and Atleti played smart. I think that was basically the theme of the game, because in the first half, I think Lazio kind of controlled the ball and also limited the amount of counterattacks Atleti can have. And I think by the end of the game, Atleti had, I think, more possession and even more passes than Lazio. That's because Atleti were trying to build up from the back, were not so successful in bypassing Lazio's high press or mid block. I think the goal kind of gave Atleti what they were looking for, because they were kind of sit deep and counter. And when they had the deflected effort from Barrios, it kind of now meant Lazio had to commit more men forward, which we saw in the second half created more chances for Atleti. And like you said, Griezmann's chance should have been a goal. And on another day, I think Atleti win the game by, I think, 3-1 or whatever, because they had really, really, really good chances before the dying stages of the game, where Lazio had to put more pressure to look for an equalizer, and which force, I think Oblak made a very, very good save, but Provadel was actually brilliant because he did quite well to keep them in the game, and then he doing what he did, just fantastic. So the game went, I think, as planned, because what everybody was expecting was before the game was Saris Lazio to have a lot of the ball, Atleti to maybe control the game without the ball, trying to allow Lazio not to have the ball where they want to have the ball, and also try to limit those their third man combinations that they do, especially when they are arriving the final third. So, Maxi, I want to just ask, what is your overall opinion on Atleti's striking option? Because Atleti had, I think, three good chances which they should have taken, but they did not take. And as for Morata, Simeone gave him Simeone asked him at the beginning of the season that he needs 18 goals from him, and Morata kind of started, but now I know it's just two games, but that's two games dry. And I think in the Lazio game, he should had a chance in which maybe he should have scored. So what's your opinion on Aleti's striking option? Because Depay is not available at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. I think that... And I asked you about this when Morata was linked with Milan, my club, early this summer. That, you know, Morata is not a bad striker as many want it to sound or be, but it's not a great striker either. He's a striker who will give you maybe 10-15 goals per season, and that's fine if it's kind of a second option striker, but from your first striker, you need more than that. And I don't think that Morata will provide that. Maybe he proves me wrong, but I don't think so. Depay is very good, but I'm not sure he's best suited as a number 9, because he's not that big of a presence in the box, and he's not that fast running in behind, but he's very smart and he has a great touch on the ball and everything like that. So I think he's definitely a good player. I do think that Atleti needs a better first-year striker, and I think that the club would do well with someone in the mold of, say, like Marcus Thuram, a strong striker who can go fast, running in behind, and very all-round. I think that Atleti would do well with a striker of that mold.
Well, Max, as we were saying, Atleti will need someone like Thuram, and I'm just thinking Atleti were actually linked with Thuram, but given Atleti, what happens, they mess up everything. But we're talking about a striker who is physically good, can make runs behind, and I was just imagining myself when I was watching the Bayern versus Leverkusen game on Friday, and I'm like, wow, Boniface, wow, this guy is good. It's a Cholo Simo player. It's a Cholo Simo player.
That's a great shout. I think that Boniface will be one of the best strikers in the world, say, in 3 to 5 years' time. He's just...
Well,
he has everything, and he, most of all, he's just so ruthless, man.
Yeah. I can recall watching the game, and Aubameyang, who is physically good, bouncing off him, I'm like, wow, this guy is a beast.
Yeah. Actually, it's a funny story, because because I live in Sweden, I follow the Scandinavian leagues a lot. So I've followed Boniface since he played in Norway. So it's kind of been cool to see him all the way to playing him by Leverkusen now.
Okay, that's nice. I think you just keep saying good things about this, because I have a feeling Andre Bata might be listening to the podcast. Who knows? And in January, something might happen. But like we said, I agree with what you said about his striker, Aleti Nita. Boniface is good. Someone just comes to mind. And I think he still has some things to improve. Like, he has the feeling of wanting to do it all. And if he can maybe get that out of his game, I think he will actually be right up there with the Osimhens, the Haalands, and the rest. Because physically, he is really, really strong, and then he's ruthless in what he does. He's good dribbler, and also his movement are just so brilliant. And also, I believe, like I saw a tweet on Twitter, which was talking about if he is actually confident in how physical he is, then I believe he can actually have a very good hold up play. And I'm thinking of a coach who can actually develop that, and Cholo comes to mind. Well, one can never be... Never, it's not even a bad thing to be optimistic, but well, we'll see where that goes.
Fingers crossed.
Exactly, fingers crossed. So, Maxi, it was another game for Aleti where injuries is another issue. Like I was telling you before the game, before we started recording, on match day one, Koke is suffered injured. After match day two, you have Memphis, I think Lima also has a knock. And before the game, even Barrios plays just 45 minutes because Cholo was not sure of his fitness, so he could not play the first half. After the game against Rayo, you had other players who were injured. And then coming from international break, you had Soyuncu, you had Depol, which are actually key players for Aleti. And then in the last game, you have Llorente and Witte who are taking off because of they are feeling uncomfortable. So if I want to actually give you the injury list, You have Soyuncu, Oke, Memphis, Renudo, who's from last season, Depaul, Lima, who had that in the game against Valencia and will be out till January or more. And then this game, you have Whittle and maybe Llorente adding to the list. So the list of injuries is actually very scary. And I was actually happy with the performance because despite the fact that we had the number of injuries, it was good that we could still perform that way and everything was actually good. So what's your opinion about, because I think there are a lot of football matches who have been played at the moment and I think starting from next year, the number only increases. What's your opinion about the injuries? And it's as if each season, the number of injuries or the players getting injuries keep increasing. Do you think it's maybe because of the number amount of games or the pitch or whatever?
Yeah, 100%. It's because of the increased number of matches. And I think that FIFA and UEFA, they just see their own perspective. They see the money it will increase in generating. The competitions will grow. So they just make the competitions bigger, trying to get them more played more often. That, I mean, the players already play. I think when Liverpool went to the finals in all of the competitions 2 seasons ago, Mohamed Salah played 63 games in that season. And after that, wow. It's the international tournaments. So they never get any rest. And I mean, they're very well built, but there's only so much that a body can tolerate before it breaks. So I think that UEFA and FIFA need to kind of evaluate how often and how many competitions should be played, because then you have players like Varane, who's at 29, retired from international football because he recognized that his body wasn't going to be able to tolerate that many games. And if UEFA and FIFA doesn't change anything and keep increasing the amount of games, I think that more and more players will follow Varane and kind of retire from international football just to have that time to recover during international breaks.
I might agree with you on that, and I think that will also have an impact on the lives, like for example, players' career, because I think we will see players with very, very short careers, because we are seeing many more players like, for example, Lamine Yamal, who are coming up at a very, very young age, and then I'm not saying it's what is going to happen, but then when they are about to arrive at their early 20s or even mid-20s, you kind of see a kind of drop down or the amount of games taking the toll on their body. We are really seeing that with Petri at the moment. Like you rightly said, if FIFA and UEFA don't actually put something in place, this will actually be bad. And I think that's one of the negatives of modern football, where profit is at the center of everything.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the last year of this current format of the Champions League, and I think that the games will increase next season because they will make the competition bigger.
For sure. You are right. That's more games. And then you have the Club World Cup, which has also been expanded.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's a great shout. So I think that what's happening at Atleti now will just happen more and more. I mean, you can see, look at Chelsea. They don't even play European football, and their injury list is really, really long as well. So, I mean, it's just a bad trend overall in football.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like you mentioned, Chelsea, you also have United. United had to sign a left-back on the deadline because of an injury. And it's just like a trend now in football. I think for Real Madrid, I think Carvajal also has fitness issues and the rest, because I think from international duty. So, like you rightly mentioned, the amount of games is really, really taking a toll on the players. And I think if the players, they themselves don't actually come to an agreement and say, okay, we actually have to talk about this, and they are just interested in the money that the amount of games bring, then I think it's actually not so good for them, because it's like, at the moment, a few has voiced it out, like Courtois, like Varane, But then at the same time, many are just deciding with it, which is not actually great. I think some couple of coaches like Simeone has even talked about it, and he said, actually, the amount of games is true. It's not really, really good, but what more can he do? Because you have bodies who are the ones organizing that, and they are just increasing it for profit sake, which is not actually the best. So, Maxi, back to football and back to Atleti's chances of making out of the group stage, because we have actually been having a very, very bad run in the Champions League recently, and it's not actually, but I think in the last three seasons, we have made it out of the group stage just once, which was two seasons ago, which were knocked out in the quarterfinals by Man City. But the previous times, we have actually gone out, which doesn't say much about us. Like, for example, it's as if the Champions League doesn't like us, because, like I told you before the podcast, when Provedel scored that goal, what came to mind was Carrasco's missed penalty against Leverkusen last year, which if he scored, sends us through. And then after that, you have maybe the fine memories of the finals coming through and the rest. So it's actually overall, despite the it coming as a shocking result to Atleti in terms of when we considered, but having a point from the Lazio game, which is an away game, it's not actually bad as it sounds.
No, absolutely not. Lazio is a team that is very good on home soil as well. They have a huge audience there who is very intense and gets behind the team. So 1 point in Rome is not a bad result in any way. And I think that Atleti absolutely can get a good result at home against Lazio as well. So I wouldn't be too worried just about this result. Now what matters is how Atleti kind of bounces back from this and how they perform in the remaining games.
Yeah, I think that would be vital, because actually when I did a preview of the draws with Kelvin, a friend of mine, he actually said Atleti has a good chance of topping the group, but now the issue will be how they get results away at Lazio, away at Feyenoord, and away at Celtic, because those are grounds that those who don't watch the leagues or even follow those leagues would think those teams are like they are not well-known names, but actually those are teams who are actually very good at home. For example, Feyenoord, they won the league last season, and one of the reasons was they have incredible home record, and we all know how Celtic Park can be on European night. So those are grounds which will be tough for Atleti, and if Atleti can actually get results there, then I believe Atleti can actually make it through. And like you said, Lazio are a very good team, and I think they are the second toughest team in the group. That's after Atleti on paper, and having a result away is not actually bad as it sounds, because it's like you have started the group stage away with a point, which is not that bad. So the other teams in the group, Feyenoord beat Celtic 3-0, and that was because Celtic took two red cards in the span of 5 minutes, which kind of made the game easier for Feyenoord, and despite the fact that you had saved the penalty. So at the current standings, you have Feyenoord on 3 points, Atleti second with 1 point, Lazio 1 point, and then last is Celtic with 0 points. So after the match they won, Maxi, do you think your positions before match they won was played, do you think it changes, or is this stands the same with Atleti and Lazio making it out of the group?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure that Atleti will finish on top of the group, because I think that, I mean, in the end of the day, it's a very good team. And I know it kind of sucks for you because you needed reinforcements this summer. But on the flip side of things, that means the same squad is there from last year and knows the system and knows the style of play, the philosophy. So they're kind of already ahead. Feyenoord and Lazio have new players that need to gel into the team, find relations with their teammates, and Atleti is already ahead there. So that is a positive for Atleti in the midst of all the negativity that comes with not signing any players. But in the end of the day, I think that Atleti is the by far best team in this group. No disrespect to Lazio, but they need more consistency, at least this season, because it's been so much up and down, not just in results, but in performances as well. So I think, actually, I think that Feyenoord can be a dark horse competing for the second place against Lazio, because Feyenoord is they're a very well-drilled team. I watched their game against Celtic tonight, and they didn't reach their top level, but they played a very good game even before the two red cards. And they've signed players like Calvin Stengs this summer, which is a player that the many teams in Europe wanted a few years ago, who had kind of a tough time at Monaco, but is now back in the Netherlands. So I think that they can be a dark horse. I think that Atleti will manage to get a good result against all the teams at home, and at least against Celtic away. But Feyenoord away can be a bit tricky, because the Kuip is it's a tough away stadium, and Feyenoord is a good team.
Yeah, for sure. I think I made a mistake. Feyenoord won 2-0 and not 3-0. The other goal was ruled out.
Yeah.
Due to after a check. Yeah.
Exactly.
So like you have rightly mentioned, Feyenoord can be a dark horse, because they're actually good. I think if you are not forgetting, they actually made them the final of the Conference League 2 years ago, and last season they were knocked out of, I think, the semi-finals of the Conference League still.
Yep.
So they are actually a good team, and they are very, very, I think, under, is it, and slots, they have actually found a consistency, and then their performance level, both in the league and European competition, have actually been good. So it's actually a team to watch out for. And like you said, before the game, I think, against Celtic, I checked their starting 11 or some of the players. Like you said, Stengs was a player who many teams in Europe wanted. And then the guy who scored the second goal, is it Jahan Bashk? I think actually had a spell in which he played, I think, in the Premier League with Brighton. He was signed, I think, is it from AZ, something of that sort. So I think they have a good squad. And also the guy who played as a nine-shirt today, is it, I think, Yankuba Minti. Yes, actually, I think a high prospect from Gambia, which I think if you are maybe into African football, you know Gambia basically has been producing a lot of talented players recently. So I think they have a good squad. And as for Celtic, well, it's actually a tough loss for them, and that I'm sure they will be looking to regroup on a match day 2 against Lazio, which is, I think, in 2 weeks' time. So Feyenoord versus Atleti in 2 weeks' time will be a great game. And like you said, I also hope Atleti can actually top the group. I'm saying hope because our record in the group stages are not the best, and we have had some nightmarish, put that way, performances in the group stages. I can still recall Quarterback sending us to the Europa League in 2017, which actually made us to the Europa League. And I can still recall last season, Club Brugge. So you have those performances which I can still recall. So, Maxi, I think that's pretty much covers the majority of the Champions League game. And now, the big thing is Aletia heading to the derby. And now, you have mentioned all of those injuries, and it's actually scary. Maxi, no offense, but your team is coming from, it's just from playing a derby, and you know how defeat is things. So you can actually imagine how I'm feeling going to the derby with that amount of injury, and that not so majority of the key players who actually make the system function are not there. So what do you think about our chances?
Yeah, I think that that it will obviously affect Atleti a lot with all these injuries. Like you said, it's not just some bench players, it's actual key players who are injured. But what something that is at least positive is that Real Madrid hasn't been up to their highest level either this season. It's been quite a few games where they managed to win at the end, much through Jude Bellingham. So hopefully for your sake, they don't do so well in this derby. But I mean, it is like you said before we jumped on the recording that it is Real Madrid and they usually find ways to win. So that's the scary thing about them. They can play a bad game but still end up winning. So Atleti really has to be on their feet and have the right mindset going into the derby despite all these injuries.
Yeah, that's true. Like you already said, they have not been actually great, but well, they have been getting the results, which is what matters at the moment. And given Ancelotti's, I think, new experiment this season, which started in preseason with the diamond, and then you have Bellingham acting as a 10, but with actually more license to make runs in behind, which has been fantastic, especially when Jose Luis is not on the pitch. Because you have, they started the season with Vinicius and Rodrigo playing as the two players up top. That's a 4-4-2 diamond, where Tchouaméni is at the base, and then Camavinga, Valverde on the sides, and Bellingham at the top. And I think it has worked magic because that kind of gives, you have players in Camavinga and Valverde who are actually very athletic and playing at the sides of the diamond can actually cover a lot of grounds and also make runs forward. And then you have Bellingham taking advantage of the fact that neither Rodrigo nor Vinicius like to have the box presence and actually making the runs into the box. And then you have brilliant passers of the ball like Kroos or even Camavinga or even from the defense like Alaba picking him out. So I think their experiment has been good so far on the ball, but on the off the ball, not so much, because I think against La Real, they actually struggled a lot. And if Atleti can, you know, kind of win the game, that would be fantastic, even though we have a lot of injuries at the moment, because winning against those guys feels like, I don't know, but feels so much better, you know. It's like, for example, Milan beating Everton, I'm sure. Sorry, Milan beating Inter, that would be great. Or Liverpool beating Everton, for you, that would be actually great. So actually, you have been enjoying because Liverpool has actually had the better of Everton a lot in the Premier League.
Yeah, and I think, as you mentioned, one very important thing for Atleti this derby will be to have a good kind of awareness of the surroundings in your own box, because as you say, Bellingham is very skilled at making those runs in, and then they have Jose Lu there in already. So I think they will have quite a few kind of crosses into the box trying to hit the forehead of Bellingham and Jose Lu, and I think that Atleti need to be sharp on their feet there, because otherwise that can end up hurting you.
Yeah, for sure, because I think La Real kind of made a mistake by allowing you or giving you a lot of space, because last season he is basically one of the best players when it comes to area balls and also a very good header. And I think one of the pass combination which were very popular last season was Pacheco to Jose Lu. That's something Real Madrid can use should in case Atleti decide to press high, given Atleti are playing at home, to maybe escape the press. And that's in the case Jose Lu starts. So it's actually going to be a very fantastic game, man. Hopefully, Atleti can be on the upside. So, Maxi, I'm sorry, but we cannot leave the podcast without talking about Atleti's goal scorer against last week, which is Barrios, because he actually broke into the scenes in the Copa del Rey and then gradually in his sports. That was actually when Atleti struggled in the first half of the season, and then after the World Cup, you have him doing so well in the Copa del Rey and then actually having a professional contract. So what's your overall take on Barrios? Because he's actually like a hot kick at the moment at Atleti, because he's just been phenomenal. Koke is out, but he has come in and he has kind of given a lot of, let's say, defensive reassurance playing as a defensive midfielder.
Yeah, I mean, it's as you say, he's a fantastic talent. And I think that he very well could be a key figure in Atleti going forward. It's kind of special, you know, also because he was at Real Madrid, but at least he's spent a lot of time in Atleti's youth system, and you always love these players coming up from the academy and making their way into the first team squad. I mean, you can sign players from outside, but it's different when it's one of your own. So I think he will be a very good addition, or he is in the squad, but I think that he will be very important going forward, because he kind of is one of your own, and he's a huge talent as well. So it kind of have more importance, if you know what I mean. It's like
it's like
Trent Alexander-Arnold in Liverpool. He is for sure one of their best players, but on top of that, he's from the city, and he's from the academy as well, so he's kind of a representative of the supporters of the pitch, and that's a bit like what would be with Barrios at Atleti.
Yeah, that's true. And you know who else was from Real Madrid Academy before coming to Atleti Academy? Saul.
Yeah, so very true.
So it's like, well, they are the gifts which keep on giving to Academy. So hopefully Barrios can maybe maybe have a repeat of what Saul did to, Real Madrid. I think that was during the 2014-15 season, I think, which Ancelotti was sacked in the 4-0 and Saul scored, I think, a goal, an overhead kick. So, well, a repeat of that would be fantastic.
Yeah, but...
But one only two.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's a fantastic young player as well, so that's what you look forward most to see him kind of develop, and he has some great role models on that midfield to kind of help him with Koke and Saul, Rodrigo de Paul.
Oh yeah, those are some fantastic players to look up to. So you fancy him scoring this weekend? Barrios.
I think that Morata will score this weekend.
I was thinking that it's here to sign Povedel to kind of start for us. Ahead of Morata, but well, okay, jokes aside. But if you say Morata scoring, I think that every day, him scoring against Madrid, fantastic. I can recall him scoring last season and him covering MO, so that it is Arata that is showing, because the Real Madrid fans were like saying that he's like a traitor, given that he grew up in the academy, despite the fact that he left our academy to the academy and the rest, but well, that's not all, but they were like, he has played for them, and then he's scoring again, blah, blah, and the rest. So him scoring and making the same situation, covering the MO so that you can see the Arata, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, you love a goal, Alex.
The derby, and it's at home, so a win will be great for Atleti. So, Maxi, I think, unlike me, you have been having a great start to the season, maybe despite the fact that you lost 5-1 in the derby against Inter, but Milan is having a great start to the season, and so is Liverpool, and I think Liverpool are kind of having the balance that they do not have, and the recruitment on both teams were as good and not as bad as that of Atleti.
Yeah, Liverpool have kind of found their way back to their old self with this kind of more intense football, more direct, and I think it's a much better, well-balanced midfield now with Dominic Szoboszlai and Alexis McAllister really kind of providing fresh legs. I think that one of the most improved players this season so far is also Darwin Núñez, who you're familiar with from La Liga. And he only played in La Segunda.
Yeah, he played in Segunda, like the season we reached Benfica signed him. I was crying on my Twitter page. Aleti, that guy is made for Cholismo. I think there are some aspects of his game which he showed in Segunda, which I've not even seen at Liverpool. And not even see at Benfica, which was basically his whole play. Because I think at Almeria in the Segunda, those are aspects of his game which he was actually very good at. Like, Almeria usually used him as maybe the go-to man, but I think he went to Benfica and he was kind of molded into more use. I think he's seen, given he is very fast, and he was molded into a guy who attacks, who makes a lot of run behind the opposition line, which was actually great. But I've not really seen that player, the way he played at Almeria and the way he plays at Liverpool and Benfica, they're not so similar.
Yeah, I agree with you. And this season, you can see that he's kind of more schooled into how Klopp wants him to press, and I think against the last game, who were we playing? Yeah, Wolverhampton.
Wolves.
Yeah, he has some fantastic hold-up play there where he kind of just held the guy off and turned around very quickly to kind of get past their midfield. So I think that his decision making has become better now as well. He's more calm on the ball and makes more rational decisions. So yeah, I really look forward to him this season because it's a terrific player and he's so fun to watch.
Yeah, for sure. And I think having somebody like Bielsa in the national team kind of also helps.
Yeah. I read somewhere that Bielsa has already kind of given him a lot of, let's say, homework on how he should take his runs and what he can do better, like small details of his game. So I think that having Bielsa with that kind of detail analysis in the national team will help him a lot.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, hopefully wish Liverpool and wish Milan kind of the best in their seasons. And so sad we cannot meet Liverpool again this season, Maxi, or else you know what is going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That defeat still haunts me.
Ooh, that was prime Llorente, you know.
Yeah, you know, it was the last game we played before COVID and... And everything shut down. So that was the last game I saw before COVID hit. Like, imagine that being your last memory from football.
Oh, that was for me.
You guys wrecked me.
Oh, very well. There's a chance of meeting Milan because Milan has been good this season. I think if we meet Milan, it's not the same Milan we met a couple of seasons ago. But well, hopefully I wish them the best in the competitions they are fighting for, except the Champions League, of course, because Atletico is also one of the contenders to win the Champions League and not just participating. So if we meet Milan, I'm sure for sure we see you again, but hopefully we see you again and me doing what I do best, taunting you.
Yep, you're very good at that.
Well, hopefully the tables are turned and then... And then you can actually start taunting me. But you know, I think as a Atleti fan, I have fond memories against Milan because I think the 2013-14 Champions League season was actually great. And against Liverpool, same. I think in the Europa League, which Diego Forlan at Anfield. So, Maxi.
We're really struggling against Atleti.
Yeah, don't worry. We will Atleti struggle against Bundesliga clubs. Luckily for me, I'm not a Bundesliga fan, so... Okay, Max, yeah, it's been fun having you, and we are coming to the end. And so, Atleti B actually also played in the U-League today, and they actually beat Lazio's under-19 2-0, and Atleti has some fantastic players there. Like, for example, you have, I think, Abde, was one of the scorers, and there's also I think our Moroccan players in the B team, they actually did a great job, and they are actually on fire. Those are some of the players I'm hoping that will actually make it to the first team because they are like the future, because I think one of them was even included in the match day squad even though he did not feature. But at the U team, I think Atleti have a fantastic bunch of players who, if they are given the chance and they actually make it to the first team, then maybe they can solve Atleti's crisis in the past years of having issues with the striker. So hopefully things kind of change for that. So Maxi, before you go, I think I have some questions for you. Okay, concerning Atleti. So I hope you are prepared.
Yep, I'm prepared.
Hopefully you do better than last time.
Oh, yeah, last time was really bad.
Okay, but I'm sure this one will be good because there are questions concerning the Liverpool and Milan. So,
okay.
So, the question is, can you recall the scoreline of the Europa League semi-final in 2010 versus Liverpool at Atleti at Anfield?
2-1.
Okay, so... who scored the winning goal, who scored the goal which took Atleti through?
What's it? This is a tricky one. Was it? Yeah, it was Forlan, no?
Oh, Buzai and Atleti went through on the way goes. Yeah, it's been better than last time. Seems you came prepared. So, okay, the next question is, what was the score line? What was the aggregate score line what was the score line when Atleti visited San Siro to play AC Milan in the 2013-14 Champions League season? Round of 16.
I remember you won 4-1 at home. So 1-0 Atleti, no?
Oh, bullseye. Wow, 3-3 so far. Wow, Maxi. Wow, you're just hitting the target like Alan. Oh, for me. Okay, that's right. And who was the goal scorer of the night?
Sorry, what was the question?
Who was the goal scorer of the night? Who scored the...
for Milan?
No, for it was 1-0 at San Siro. So who scored the goal, the winning goal?
Yeah, it was Diego Costa.
Oh, Buzai, 4-4. Wow, I'm scared, man.
these are the questions I know because I remember results and stuff like that.
Okay. The final question. This is a technical one, you know, but I'm sure you are going to have it. So, when was the last time Atleti won the trophy?
Won a trophy at all or in Europe?
At all. Okay, in Europe.
Europe, I don't know, but the last time must have been La Liga, no?
Yup, it's La Liga. The 2020-21 season with Chippy and the rest. And in Europe, it was 2017, the Europa League, which a little bit Marseille in the final.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Because in La Liga, it was the year when Luis Suarez joined from Barcelona.
Yeah, exactly. So, Maxi, well, 5-5. Wow, I'm impressed. Wow.
Yeah, sometimes I'm impressed.
Well, the way we were answering the question, you were like, Haaland, hit the bullseye. Not like last time, which I helps you with some hints, you know.
Yeah, the one I was most unsure of was the Liverpool Atleti one, because that was so long ago.
Yeah, exactly. Forlan scoring and kicking Atleti, I think, on the way goes. So, Maxi, it was great chatting with you guys. This 50 minutes has been as if it was just 10 minutes. Hopefully, you can have a few more often on the podcast.
Yeah, I would love to come on again.
So, thanks, dear listeners, and remember, nunca they had a career. Keep believing in the team, and like Cholo said, even despite the injuries and its belief, we are going to have 11 players in the game. So, never stop.